Hi, how are you?
Rebbe, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't late. I felt bad that last week I saw I was 6 minutes late, so.
No. It's fine. Last week I had to leave early. I don't remember what happened. I literally lost track of. Okay.
Okay. I have a question on the Sefer that Rebbe was on the Teres Chaim. I don't want to take away from the Shir Hashirim, but you know, I know that this is why.
Fine.
Says, this is a good time.
Yeah, for me, it's good. Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. So there was two items. First off, was that Rebbe wrote the Yerushalmi from Baba Matzia on I think Daf Ches that says that that Rebbe found a diamond on the donkey and it was a mistake and he returned it.
Rav Shimon ben Shatach.
So there was a Maisa 2 or 3 years ago of this Shliach or someone who bought a desk on eBay and there was...
And he returned the money, yes.
And he returned the money. So when that came out, so everybody was talking about how it's Kiddush Hashem, Mayudik. My feelings were a little different. Meaning my logic, which I think is good, but there's a Gemara not like me, is that if this person, had a brother who needed an emergency kidney transplant, and it cost $100,000, and now he has $100,000, and the guy would have never known. So is it the right din to return it, and now his brother is not going to have the money for the surgery? Would that be appropriate, or is it, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam sent him the money and his brother needs a surgery and he should save his brother?
So I would say there's a difference between if it's Oimid the Fanech or not. In other words, if let's say there is a case like that, right now somebody needs, and I'm the person supplied the money and so on, that's one thing, versus holding on to the money. Zeros, somebody might need it.
I was going to say, Klal Yisrael always needs it. There's always an ani, right. Meaning he's saying, give it to a guy instead of Yidden in Israel who don't have food.
Right. But at the end of the day, I mean, listen, the Gemara is a very powerful Gemara. I heard this Gemara actually when Arya Finkel said it on a hesped on my father-in-law, at the Levaya maybe. I think he said it, or the Shiva, that, you know, and he quoted the end of the Gemara, you know, I want that the guy should say Yishem Lekod the Shem and the Shatach Mevayrach more than all money in the world. So my assumption would be that if there's a real pikuach nefesh right now in front of you, let's put it this way: if a person takes the money straight out and gives it to a hospital to a chayla, that's one shayla. I think we would give mice money to a chayla. And we keep 90% for ourselves, you know. That's the truth. In that case, then I mean, it's interesting. You're raising an interesting point. But like upon it, my feeling is there's a difference if it's something that you are usuk in, and now you have to do it, or you'll hold the money because maybe a chayla will come. You know, it's that's how it's.
Meaning, I guess the point was, you want to do a mitzvah and a kiddush Hashem, don't send it back to the guy. Send it to Eretz Yisrael, to, you know, the chickens for almanas. You know, send it there. I mean, I personally probably would have kept it fine in a chanami. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I would, you know, feel overwhelmed and want to do something, but probably I would have kept it. I'm not going to, you know, fool myself. But someone who wants to actually do the highest thing, is that the best thing to do, to send it back to the guy who never knew about it, or... You know, which one is better in an ideal sense?
I don't know. So I have the Yerushalmi, and I don't. That's,
right. Okay, fine. Right. So it's a Gemara. So fine. The second akuda that I just wanted to be omer on, Rabbi spoke about doing a Kiddush Hashem, about being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, the Maisa with the Japanese consul in Vilna and how they saved them.
Which was
I'm telling you, Rabbi, from the epilogue and whatever, I had chills for the next 2 hours. Mamish Mayudik. The question that I had is this mahalach that we should do by being Kadosh Hashem, by being dignified and soft spoken and you know, going about our business, it sounds like it fits very well for someone who's an accountant, for someone who's a lawyer, someone who has a stable position, who, you know, instead of being a chaya like the Kayan, go about his business quietly. But what about someone who's in a profession where it's conducive to a lot of conflict, you know, confrontation?
Right.
So, for example, you know, I collect rent. You know, that's my avoida on behalf of all of my clients. I make sure to go out and collect the rent. And if the rent is not forthcoming, then we get very, very tough very, very quickly. And the people who don't have the rent don't like me very much. So how do you go about being Isaac in this hanhaga of being Mekadoshim Shemayim and Ashtoa Heid Eifen? Is it, you know, is it something that's okay, you know, this is not a, find someone else to do it because it's, you know, because people aren't going to like the Yiddin. The whole real estate profession is really Yiddish. So right. Does it not apply? How do we translate to someone who's not in an industry where he could just go about his business?
So there's actually another chapter somewhere along the line called Not Kiddush Hashem. I don't know if your version, I edited it later, another chapter recently. Maybe you got it called. So I would say like this. I quoted that, you know, somebody wrote a book on the Reichmans. After they fell. It's called, I think, the Reichman family, right? I have it. It's not somebody that was hired by the family to write it. But it's a very, very, it's a fair, you know, it's a big book. It goes through, I think. But if the fascinating part is he never finds fault with the family. In other words, he explains what happened to the Canary Wharf and this, that, everything like that. But like this, they, you know, he describes them as being tough business people, describes them as, you know, not budging on stuff, but, you know, never losing it. You can be firm with somebody without, you can say, you know, and if a person wants to be, you know, it's like there's a way to be tough with a client that you want to see back. You know, you say, I'm really sorry, but there's the regulations are mandating it, and it goes to the court automatically. I'm going to try to help, but it goes automatically to collection. You know, you're not mechuyev to lose money, but on the other hand, you have to ask yourself, the strong, firm behavior on your part is fine. It can come with a lot of cursing. It can come with just say, you know, these contracts are automatically to collection. And you know, within 30 days, somebody comes by and picks up, and that's what happens. And you know, it's something that I don't want to see happen, and I want to try to help. If you give me the checks now, it's, you know, whatever it is, you can. There are ways to go about it when they try to, you know, when you try to deal tough with a customer that you want back, you have a way of doing it, and you know, there's a way of going. And then there's something we don't care. You let out your own personal. The person can be frustrating. He's playing a game with you, isn't that? But you can be as calm, matter of fact as possible. It's one of the things, a big difference in general, when you deal in Israel with a business or in America. I mean, I don't deal much with business, but even a government official in America, they immediately hide behind regulations. Oh, I'm so sorry, but regulations mandate it. And there's nothing I can do about it. And it's just that's the way it is. Versus in Israel, where the guy says, you good for nothing. What do you think? You're going to do an end run around me. I know better than you. And here they say, you know, we're here. I'm very sorry, but that's regulations. And we're bound to it. And there's nothing I can do, you know. So doing it.
Right. So I understand that that's proper, but I don't think it's going to engender the kind of feelings that will promote a Kiddush Hashem that will result in the German Gestapo, Maisa kind of.
No one knows exactly what happened. I want to tell you something. I was there in the summer. I went with a group of people. We were there in the consulate. And you know what was very moving? It's stunningly moving. I mean, they wanted. So this consul was fired by Japanese government for insubordination. Yeah. He was given a pension. He lived a pretty miserable life. They wanted to make a big to-do and give him some award or something. That's, you know, once it became years later. And he said, no. He said, a person should do what's right because it's right. That's how a person should do it. I was blown away. You know, I said to myself, there must be an Nishmas. I mean, where does, you know, I was blown away in admiration for a person like that. You know, so
he's still alive. This person is still alive.
No, he died about 20 years ago, I think. His family, the Mi'yeshiva, made a thing for him, and they honored his family. They did something for the family. They came to Yisrael. They did something. He had passed away before. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly when he passed away. And you can just Google it, Sugihara.
Okay, fine.
It's really, you know, it's incredible. Like, I tell you, I was sitting at the guy's desk and they had all these things written up, you know, the things from him. And, you know, I said to myself, I'm in awe. You know, he said, a person should do what's right because it's right. You know, I'm humble.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Good. Davacha Mashcheni. Neged Kibbutz Golias. So now he has another pirush on what all these four things are. Let me, I guess, explain one thing about it. He's going to go on now for many, many things that it's connected. And this is not unusual for the Goyen, where the Goyen will take something and show you, so it's connected, this. It's also going to, this is this, and so on and so forth. That's quite usual for the Goyen to do. So I think what's very, very important to understand about the Goyen, if I needed to categorize the Goyen's chelek and Torah, it would be remes. So there's a type of remes that is just cute. This is a remes of this, this remes of this, another remes of this, another remes of that, another remes of the other thing. Okay, you know, those are all nice things. Paparos, yeah, it's not such a story. It's a remes for this, remes for that. Okay, it's not wrong. It's not hard to say that it adds something to you other than smile on the face. You know, when you, if you're going into something very different, lemashal, a person is sitting in the laboratory. And he comes up with the electromagnetic effect. Then he goes around and he says, you see, static electricity is an example of that, lightning is an example of that, this is an example of that, this is an example of that. If you pick the right nekuda, then the Bria is full of it. Symmetry, all sorts of things that go across the Bria, you'll find it everywhere. So there are klolim that are in the Bria, and those klolim, if you know how to look for it, you'll find it manifest itself in many places. So the marshal, the number four has meaning, and its primary meaning is usually yudke vavke, and therefore you'll find many things that that shtim with four. And all of these things are theoretically parallel to each other in some way. It's not just, well, I have the number four, so it could be connected to four Imois, it could be connected to four Malchis, it could be connected, you know, everything. No, the Goyen picked it, and that's why it's so meaningful when the Goyen points it out. Because once the Goyen points it out, we recognize that he understood this to be a real example of this, very unusual, you know, that's the guy. And so here also, he says, there's a four psukim, and the next paragraph is going to say that these four psukim are the sheirish of Sheashirim and so on. So all of these things are going to be very parallel examples of the same phenomena. So now he goes away from Yom Tovim, Davacha, Mashcheni Keneg Kibbutz Golias, Heviani Neged Beis Hamikdash, Nagilav Nischavucha Neged Gilui Shchina, Mashkaz Veinecha Roes Es Merecha, Mashkaz Veseif Tainis, Ozer Hashpoch Lassim Echol Tzadikim Yesh Menei Megan Eden, Halecha Lech Mar Vetzboi, Shneem Avon Bayim, Ahu Hine Alekeinu Zer Kibir Lai Sheinu Zer Hashem Kibir Lai Gilus Vashasa, Naskira Dedecha Miyoyin, Neged Bira Teru Lassim Yipel Peh, Mashkaz Veinecha Mola Tzdeya, So these are four madregas. So the first one, Ashkeni Kibbutz Golias, I understand. Because when we're in Golas, we really, really don't feel like coming. You know, it's not something that is so, most of us are entrenched in Golas, and we don't exactly, you know, we don't feel like leaving Golas. So that's Mashcheni, pull me, okay. Heviani Neged Beis HaMikdash, yes. You know, he brings it. So when he says here, K'may Shekosav, B'nei Yerushalayim, so I'm not sure what he wants over here. I mean, what does he need? Does he need to tell me that what? So Mashkeni Achrecha Narutza, Evani Levei Sayoyin, so K'may Shekosav, B'nei Yerushalayim, what does he see in the Pasuk B'nei Yerushalayim? I'm not sure. Nagil Reschaz Gilu Shchina. So on that, the Rambam, on that the Goyen has to say, how do I know that there is a musig of Gilu Shchina, Lasse Lavo? Kibbutz Golias, we know Lasse Lavo. Boyne Yerushalayim, we know Lasse Lavo. But the Gil of Nischabacha, that's Gilu Shchina, Hanra is Gilu Gilu Shchina. So Goyen brings two psukim. Boye Necher is Asmerecha, So that means that there is a musig of Gilishkina that's part of La Asid Lovay. In Asid Lovay, there's going to be Gilishkina. That's what he wants to be specific. Okay. Now, Skir Rechem Yoyen, Neged Bira.
This paragraph is all in Pasuk Dalet, right? Meaning the other things that we were learning were connected the first four psukim. And Mashkeni Haviani Nagil Ben Sechavach Naskir the Dechamiyan.
Right.
Is that also, we're not included.
In this Pasuk, and then he goes back again. You're right. This is the last piece over here. And then he goes back again to four psukim as well. So I don't know. He says, you know, he's learning four things in this pasuk, and then he goes back to all four pasukim again. So I'm not sure. You're right. And this is an insert to Stavachas. So
it's not conforming to the initial Dal Psukim being the Sherish.
It's even in Klal Yisrael itself, in the Ruchnis Tikbal Klal. So you have these four stages. But I want to focus on something. So Kibbutz Golias, leaving the Goyim, good. Building Beis HaMikdash is step two, makes a lot of sense. Step three is Gilui Shechina, makes a lot of sense. Step four is Bir Atoyer Lasid Mipel Peh. Would that be number four? Wouldn't kind of Gilui Shechina be the most, the ultimate? Ask an Echsir Shehid, if there's something more than Gilui Shechina. You know, so why is Bir Atoyer? So I think it's like this. The key word is la'asid mipel peh. So when a person beholds another person, whenever my contact with somebody is re'ia, then I have a level of certainty about the person. Yes, you told me you have an Uncle Chatzko. You spoke about your Uncle Chatzko, and you told me a lot about him. I'm wondering if you actually have an Uncle Chatzko. You introduced me to your Uncle Chatzko. Fine. I now see your Uncle Chatzko. But I see the Chitzonius. When I see a person, I have a tfisa only in the person's Chitzonius. When I listen to a person, when I learn from a person, then I have a tfis in the person's pnimius. So lasid lavay, when we're asking ourselves, re'ia is the final and strongest tfis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad a certain chitzonius. But mitzad the pnimius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So we saw before, learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pel Peh is a b'chin of neshika. It's a b'chin of chibur. The chibur of neshika is a more ruchnistic and deeper chibur than the other chibur. So after Gilui Shechina, now I want to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. It's like a child grows up. Let's say a child has a very chashav father. So I spoke, actually, I said it at a Hesped Rosh Shapiro in Eretz Yisrael, in Cairo. Imagine somebody, a young boy, an 8, 9-year-old boy, Leina Hasrom, loses a father. So one tragedy is, you know, lost a father, is Yasim, so on. But he'll never, ever know his father except the way an 8-year-old knows him. He never really had a father, because the father he had was the part of the father that played an 8-year-old. But what was it? What were his father's ideas and ideals and thoughts and hopes and dreams and so on? He can't know that. So understanding of the Hering HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka mipel peh. And the mile of pel peh is, first of all, it's like a remes for neshika, but the mile of it is that it's a direct communication. It's a direct chibur in a way that allows me to tap into the pnimius. So it's if you ask somebody, would you rather, what's a higher dagger? Would you rather have Gilui Shechina or learning pel peh? Hands down, learning pel peh. And then finally, so that's the law. Kimola Aretz Deya, Kamayim
Le'amichas. Maybe just a quick question. Does that suggest that there's a difference between a chitzonius, so to speak, b'havdol of the Rabbeinu Shlalom versus a pnimius of the Rabbeinu Shlalom, that the giloy is a chitzonius, like a perception?
Definitely. Yeah, let's give it. Let's take an example. Kriyas Yamsuf was for a simple yid, not literate, standing there and watching Kriyas Yamsuf, it's an extraordinary moment. It's a moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megal himself. I see a nes. I recognize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares me. He's willing to dissolve the teva and make a nes for me. I'm full of tremendous HaKadosh Baruch Hu love. But I have nothing inside me that dehears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the same way. Imagine somebody. Let's take a good example. Let's say there are two people that are in my life. One person is somebody that I feel we can talk and we both deal with the same issues, struggles, ideas. The second person is a firefighter. And I was once stuck and there was Mamish Pikroch Nefesh. The person ran out of his Nefesh, pulled me out and saved me. So who did something much bigger for me? Obviously, the second person. It's very, very laudable, noteworthy, and so on. But I don't have a chibur pnimius with him because I don't get the guy. He doesn't get me either. So a person, a simple yid, can be oymed on a Kodesh Baruch who's avah for him. He can be oymed on the fact that Kodesh Baruch was a father to him. Things like that. And when Kodesh Baruch was megala himself to me, I can be oymed that. That's a very strong kesher with Rabbeinu Shlomo. But it's in a dilemma to somebody who's every te'ima of pnimius, where you have a tefisa of pnimius of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a world of difference.
So it's not a chitzonius versus a pnimius within the Rabbeinu Shlomo. It's
just exactly. My perception. What am I being teifis over here? Uh-huh. One of my children, especially Yaakov. When Yaakov was a little boy, he must have been 6 years old, he was a very friendly kid always, and very, very, very cared about people. He was a very good kid. And he was one day in my mother-in-law's house, and in walked Reb Chaim Greiman, that was her brother. Reb Chaim Greiman was ponderous, smart, big about Eitzah, and he cast the fear of the Lord and you when he walked in. He walked in to visit my mother and his sister. They were only two in the house, about little Yaakov. Yaakov saw him sitting, kind of. So Yaakov walks up to him and says, you know, you look lonely. Let me teach you a game. So his face lit up. So Hai said, yeah, teach me a game. So he took out marbles of Ajin, whatever stuff. He sat down with him on the floor and he showed him how you have to take two and one and three and this and that. And you know, and that was it. I think my mother locked the door. I think she was petrified. Somebody didn't walk in. And then Yaakov after told me that, you know, an old uncle came to visit. He was very lonely, and I showed him a play. He really was very interested and liked it. So I said to myself, there was a tremendous care for there, but he saw the part of the person that relates to a six-year-old. That's the part of Chaim, you know, that he saw. That's all he was typhus. No insight on a Chaim. For many years, Chaim liked him a lot. He would always ask, how's my Yaakov doing? How's this? He was very...
So then what I think would follow is, if we're talking about two madrigas and how the extent that I can perceive the Rabbanu Shalom, shouldn't this be totally on whichever person we're talking about, La'asid Lavoi, and what he was able to do in the times of Golos and the madrigas that he reached? Why is this two levels in the Geula? Every single person, they're going to have a level of Geula there.
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Gala to us. You know, as part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do in that Tekuf of Geula, is be Megala to us a lot of Pnim. Whether he'll make it available, more easily available, let's call it, more comprehensible, make more things open for us. You know, it's part of the process of Geula. Like it says, like Rashi says in Shoshin, famous Rashi, that Muftachim Anu, that he's going to come back and be Megala, Sister Torah of Amkits, Funeha, and so on. So it's part of the process is that this will become much more Begolui and accessible. Finally, the final stage is Meishar Meivucha, K'moishasav, Oz Efech Al Amim Sof Abura, Likre Kula Meshem Hashem, Lov Deshechem Echad. So the final stage, it says, is that all Umis will call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lov Deshechem Echad. So it's interesting in the progression over here. We have the Gilui Shekhinah, we have the Havana and Tfisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we have the Gilui to the Umos HaOlam. Not clear, in other words, it's clear in terms of the final tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the world, not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the Echid Timtza for Tikkun HaOlam. So when Klal Yisrael becomes Mesukin, all the other Umos also become Mesukin. It's they're Mashpia on the Umos HaOlam, and therefore it spills over and it affects Umos HaOlam. I'm not sure how it works in the Pasuk exactly. You know, Mashkein Achecha Nerutza, Hevyan HaMelech Hadorah, Megil Mischabach, Naskira Dechem Yain, those are all milas of Klal Yisrael. Meishar Meivucha, that even the Umos HaOlam will turn around and so on. So it's a little bit harder to understand what's that. You know, it's not hard to understand it in terms of Tachas Abri and all those things that fits in square with it. But in the progression that we've been trying to list, which seemed to go well, what is it about Umos HaOlam? So I'm also not sure if this means Umos HaOlam becomes Mesukin. It's a din in Umos HaOlam that they will, you know, become better or whatever you want to call it. Or is it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Megala himself in a way that it sounds like as efach el amim sofa brura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn to the Umos HaOlam with sofa brura. Until this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks in a language that the goyim don't understand, don't hear, and are oblivious to. At this point, the Umos HaOlam will now, the language it will be spoken to will be a language that they'll hear. And in the Chur, that's Oz Hevech Al Amim Sofa Brura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's language will also become Barer. So I would venture to guess that we're talking about the same thing as before. Before he says, Naskedach Miyayin is neged Bir Torah, La'asid Nipel Peh. So we're talking about a new Bir of Torah. As Evram Sofer Brewer means that Bir of Torah will also be Sofer Brewer. It's going to be a very, very clear language. It'll have the quality that understood by everybody. That I think might be the Mishra Ma'ibucha.
Would that mean that there's not going to be a distinction between the Yidden and Goyim's perception of B'Krei Kulam Shem Hashem, of the Shechem Echor?
There will be Yichud Echor, as a matter of fact, as the possible of the Shechem Echor means they will also pitch in shoulders. It's like when I say, I need help to move this, let's everybody put a shoulder to it and move it together. It does not take away from the fact that there may be, there may be people who are of the foremen and people who are the workers. Here also, everybody comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Umos HaOlam recognize that their role is to provide for Chai Yisrael, to work for Chai Yisrael. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
But what it is, I would say as follows. Mishra Me'ivucha is the quality of Re'iyah, of the Gilui Shechina in the Divrei Torah. In other words, they will understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking of Sofer Brewer means until now, Torah hasn't spoken to them. Like it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around the Matan Torah and he asked all the Umas, to take Torah, and everybody said, well, what's it saying it? And everyone rejected it. So that meant that Torah did not express itself in the language that suited for them. Lasid Lovoi, Torah will speak of a Sofer Brewer, and it will express itself in a language that is, so it's sort of, I guess, the counterpart of the Gilui Shechina, which comes about from Nisim of all sorts, to the Torah, which will become Sofer Brewer. That I think, so that puts it sort of in a straight line over there with all the other ones. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why the word Meishar Meivucha means the Umos HaOlam could be recognized as HaKadosh Baruch Hu also through roundabout. How's this world Kayim? Must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did this happen? Must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are all round and about ways of looking at it. This is something that is straight. It's they're able to tap into the Etzem Divrei Torah. That would fit with the thing over here. But the tzadash of this whole package here is that this pasuk has in itself the remiza of Lasid Lavoi. It's not only a shir shim of what was, but Lasid Lavoi also worked with that same mahala. Okay. Vehine, arba psukim elor yishayim hin kol klasif kula shoshvakim masay. This is a type of thing that the Goyim says in a bunch of places. It's something that is in the Moshe Mishlei. It says the first psukim tell me everything about the whole thing and so on. It's something which is alpiderach haseichel even. If a person has introductory remarks, one assumes the introduction will include the entire book in a very, very metumtzadik way. The muscle, if I'm going to give a big presentation on, I don't know, fish or whatever it is, place the fish in the ocean in Washington, D.C. So I can start off and say, fishing is a very important industry here. And we're going to have a look at the effect the pollution of the oceans is having, and we're going to discover that it's having a detrimental effect, not having a detrimental effect. The beginning a logical beginning has Hakdama, which encapsulates the entire Hemshech. So here also, the Arabic Sukkim Rishonim are Klal Klasifik, Kula Shasifik Masay. It's similar to what the Goyen says that Bereshis Barley Kimas Rahim Saretz, everything is Merumas, and so on, and the first seven words, and the first seven letters of the first word, it is Midarkei HaChachma. Let's explain it, give one small Hakdama. It is undisputably Midarkei HaChachma to do everything with Chachma, which means that everything I do is a product of thinking rather than impulse or response or whatever. So when a person, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does anything, Bereishis Bara Elokim includes the entire Torah. So one expects that it's coming from a sheirish of Chachma, and it's slowly branching out into different nekudas. And that's Darkei Chachma. It's like anything. I want to do a business deal. So I say to myself, commercial real estate is headed not good. Okay, so tachlis, what does that mean? Which buildings would affect, which won't affect? How should I move into the market? There's a certain flow which starts at the shurish and goes on. So to say that Bereish Valakir Shagarats, in that pasuk you have everything merumas, and in the first word of Bereish, you have everything merumas, even more vermisa, is certainly a very appropriate thing. Lamashal, a doctor can say, when you see a tinik ben yomo, you already can know what will be a lot of the problems later. Somebody else will say, well, you can look at the genes from the moment of conception, and you'll know what's going to happen. And both are right, both are true. And each one is hitting at a different stage. And the earlier you go, the less visible it is, but the more is included, it's still included in. Okay, so I'll hold it here by the psukim, and can I get Abiyasaitis? I will next Monday probably we could learn. Yeah, I don't think it'll be Hanukkah, but I think it's okay. I'll be back. Bez Hashem, I should be back by 9:00. So it shouldn't be. Then the efforts will be. By 9:00.